you really need to be clear on why you're doing what you're doing. And your pitch is just that. If you can't pitch yourself, if you're having trouble articulating why it is you do what you do or what you do, it means that you're not clear on it yourself.
You're listening to Season 2, Not Another Business Show, with your host, Tracy Sheen.
Ever been at a barbecue and had a stranger say to you, "So, what do you do?" And you freeze. You think to yourself, "How do I explain all of the awesomeness that is contained within my brain in such a few short sentences?" Maybe you found yourself needing to go for business finance and struggled to be able to convince the bank of how what it is that you do benefits your customers. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 5 of Not Another Business Show, where today we chat about the wonderful world of pitching. Elevator pitch, social pitch, sales pitch, media pitch, marketing pitch, investor pitch. Seems one of the buzzwords in today's business world is pitch. Go to any network event and you'll be asked to recite your pitch almost ad nauseum. We get the idea of pitching, but when I asked my guests what makes a good pitch, it seemed like there was a different answer for everyone I spoke to.
A good pitch is priceless. When you know what it is that you do, who your customer is, what their problems are, and what your solutions are that can solve their burning problems and fears, a pitch allows you to communicate so much more effectively.
At the top of the show, Catherine referred to pitching as an act of clarity, who you are and what you're doing. Oh, you might remember Catherine Maslin, our naturopath and health guru from Season 1. And you just heard from Rebecca, that's Rebecca Coombs from Coombs Marketing, who thinks of pitching in different terms of knowing who your customer is and what their problems are so you can talk to them on their level. So who's got the right answer? Is there a right answer? And what should you and I be doing when we get that awful, "What do you do?" question? Well, listen on. It turns out they are both right. Here's the first big key of pitching, and I'm going to quote something I learnt from Matthew Michalowicz, a highly successful entrepreneur and mentor. You get what you pitch for, and you're always pitching. What did he mean by that? Well, let's think of any networking event you've ever been to. Your aim is to engage people to find out what kind of business they're in and share with them what it is that you do. For example, when you first speak with Catherine.
My name's Catherine Maslin. I'm a naturopath, nutritionist, author, and I specialize in helping people to reclaim their health so they can live a life that they love.
Now, I would almost guarantee that anyone listening in who has been feeling a little ordinary lately is thinking to themselves, "I'd like to know a little more." Let me give you another example. Remember Jeff Hetherington, the Clarity CEO? We spoke to him in episode 1 of this season. His pitch when you first meet him goes like this.
I believe that owning a business or working for someone else as an entrepreneur is the best way for you to ensure that you and your family live a larger life. That means having more time with them and less time at work.
More time with your family and less time at work. Now, be honest, who else is thinking right now, "How the hell does he do that?" That, my friends, are examples of a couple of great social pitches because they leave you wanting to know more. So what does it mean to have a good pitch? Well, Jeff explained it to me like this.
A good pitch should do a couple of things. It should articulate very clearly who you are, what you stand for, what it is you solve or deal with, and the fact that you need to sound credible. So, look, Social pitches are probably the best one. My social pitch is really simple. If I'm at a bar or a barbecue, quite often even at a networking event, people say, yeah, what do you do? And I go, you know how small business people work too hard and play too little? I run a business that helps them play more and work less. That's it. Nice, simple. And that's what I do. That pretty much is what I do with people. Pitching's important because it needs to be short, it needs to be sharp, and it needs to garner interest. I don't get defined by my industry. How many people do you know give you a card and it says John Smith, accountant? And in your mind, you go, accountant, that's that size box, boring, don't want to talk to him, right? I had a bookkeeper as a client a couple of years ago who was specializing in tradies, and her pitch was dreadful. You know, my name's Joan and I'm the bookkeeper. So I taught her to say this. I taught her to say, hi, my name's Joan and I save marriages. I save marriages because I do the books for tradies so their wives don't have to and they don't fight. We tripled her business in 3 months just by having her use that as her pitch when she went to a particular pub where the tradies hung out.
If you're one of our regulars that likes to mine for gold in these episodes, then there's your first real piece. A social pitch, or elevator pitch as some call it, needs to clearly articulate who you are, what you stand for, what problems you solve, and it needs to make you sound credible. Now, that pitch that Jeff came up with for the bookkeeper is an absolute cracker. But what is the process you need to go through to pull your pitch apart and find that X factor that makes people take a step back?
What's the purpose of the pitch? I mean, Matthew Michalowicz says it best, where he says the purpose of most pitches is just to get you to the next step. A lot of people think a pitch is to sell something right at the start. And there are certain pitches and certain circumstances where that can work. But really, you've got to understand the purpose of your pitch. Now, for me, my social pitch is designed so that people have a binary decision. It's a one or a zero. They either go, oh, tell me more, or, yeah, that's cool, and walk off. That's it. The one with the bookkeeper was purely and simply was it's about differentiation. I work with people very much on the Blue Ocean Strategy. W.K. Chan wrote that back at Harvard in 1995, I think it was. The idea was that Blue Ocean is obviously you're so far differentiated from everyone else that no one else is a competitor. Red Ocean is you're in there competing on price, the same as everyone else, like sharks in a feeding frenzy. Most businesses can get to pink to light Blue Ocean if they differentiate yourself. Again, it's old style marketing. It's point of difference or unique selling proposition. Simon Sinek calls it your why. Other people call it your purpose. But if you've got a pitch, you've got to be clear on what the pitch is for. And you've got to understand what it is you do. Now, what you do and say in your pitch might be a side effect. So for the bookkeeper, the side effect was, yes, she actually helped save some marriages because people didn't argue as much. That's not the main thing she did. But if she just said, hi, my name's Joan and I'm a bookkeeper, bang, straight into that box, bookkeeper, push to one side. So sometimes your pitch has to be designed to differentiate yourself. The worst thing I see small business people do is they let themselves be defined by the industry. And they let themselves be defined by the usual description of their work. There's a picture frame up here, and people say to him, so what do you do? And he says, I open windows to other worlds on the walls of your home. Pretty cool. People say, what do you mean? And then he talks about picture framing. I've got a videographer up here who most video guys go, yeah, I take videos. You know? And he goes, no. He says, I tell your story through sound and movement in a way that no one else can. It differentiates himself. It gets people to the stage. They say, tell me more, or how do you do that? Or it breaks down all the usual stuff that has people dropped into boxes. The worst thing can happen to a small business person is to be dropped into the same box as your competitors. And you differentiate yourself through your pitch and through being a bit clever with the way you pitch things. Invite a conversation. Don't try and sell everything up front. Get to the next step where people go, oh, tell me more. That's when you start working towards a sale. But you also use it as a filter. I mean, I use it as a filter, you know. Work less, play more. That's what I do with small business people. Would you like to know how? No, I'm fine. Cool. You're not a client.
Differentiation is a big key. Have a think about what it is you do, but then write down all of the byproducts people receive in working with you. See if you can't find your point of difference that could give your pitch the X factor. As I said at the start of the show, though, there are many different types of pitches.
Pitch is not just a sales thing. It's positioning. It's also a filter. It can be used in a lot of ways, and that's why you've got to think through it. The pitch you do in front of a bank to get $20,000 to upgrade your business or your IT network is very different from the pitch you do at a networking meeting or the pitch you do when you've been invited to stand up and be a keynote speaker in a room full of people that are business continuity planning experts and you're getting up there to talk to them about your time in Jakarta and they should talk to you about how to do things in third world countries. They're all different.
I had a great chat to the host of the podcast, The Pitch, which, if you haven't heard it, is definitely worth a listen, and I will link out to it in the show notes. When I sat down with Josh, I started by asking him to pitch me The Pitch.
The Pitch is a podcast where startups pitch to an audience of angel investors. Then we have a panel of investors that give their feedback, and founders get to listen in and learn.
So basically think of Shark Tank on a podcast, but where the guest pitchers are actually given training on how to pitch their ideas. It's a great show and some truly inspiring businesses have been on the program. Every day, Josh is chatting to business owners who are seeking some kind of capital injection into their business, mostly to take it to the next level. So I was intrigued as to whether Josh thought a social pitch and a sales pitch and an investor pitch were in any way the same.
I think it's a very different pitch, but I think all pitches kind of should have the same story. You have to obviously include certain details for an investor. He's going to have questions about growth, about scalability of your product, how long till you can produce a return. If you're gaining users, how are you going to be able to monetize those users, right? So those aren't the same questions that a prospective customer is going to ask. They just want to ask, how can I use your product to benefit my life? So in that aspect, it's very similar. But investors are customers and people too. So you have to sell them first on why they would want to use your product before you can sell them on why they would want to invest. So it all starts from the most basic point of telling the story. And you know, you've kind of got different versions, but you know, your elevator pitch needs to be so simple, so concise, not confusing. You know, you don't want to use these buzzwords like an innovative platform, but it needs to be like, this is what I do.
Josh was sharing with me stories of business owners that would pitch him to be on the podcast that were taking 5 to 10 minutes to try and tell him what they do. So he shared this cracking piece of advice, especially for anyone who's looking to create their pitch for investment.
If you can't say your vision and your problem in like 20 to 30 seconds, it's too long. Like you need to be able to simplify it that short and then even shorter at times. But then as far as how do you give your long pitch, if you're giving a 2 to 3 or 4 minute pitch, I think that the most common crutch people fall into is talking about all of the features that they're building and what their future plans are. And investors kind of want to know, what are you doing right now? What's the core feature that really makes you different? And they're evaluating so many different things, but they're going to follow up with you with those questions about features, et cetera. So number one, be concise. And number two, don't go on and on about features of your product. You're going to be tempted to talk all about your product, and you need to tell the story first and then the key pieces of your product that make it exciting and how that solves the problem, makes the world a better place.
Josh is a big believer that when it comes to pitching for investment, the story behind the company and the product can often be the thing that hooks the investors. He went on to say that a lot of pitches that he reads, which are features and benefits based, read like a...
It's like a very sad dating profile. And sadly, you know, 90% of them are that. And most investors suffer with this problem. Finding people that stick out, you have to be exceptional. You're amongst a crowd of thousands of others. And maybe your product is unique, but how is your pitch unique? How is your story unique? You know, how professional is the public, you know, persona that you're putting out there?
The thing I figured out chatting with Josh, though, the bit that really sets an investment pitch apart from any other pitch that you might make for your business.
Here's the number one question investors have to answer to themselves is this a high growth company and is this a big enough market?
I'm working on a future episode right now all around raising capital and what you need to know before you go and pitch for money. So I'm sure we'll get a lot more into the detail around that subject when that episode goes live. Next, though, we got into a contentious issue around using props when you're pitching. I mentioned at the start of the show one of my mentors, Matt Michaelwitz, who shared a story of travelling all around Australia trying to nail this one guy down for 5 minutes just to pitch him his concept. Finally, he said the guy relented and took him into his office, opened a box of Cuban cigars and sat down in the armchair and said to him, "You've got 3 minutes." Matt said he didn't have his material with him, nothing. But because he knew his numbers, his product and his story, and because he knew all he was trying to do was pitch to get to the next meeting, he was able to just let the guy have it. And he got the next meeting. Josh, though, is of the belief.
Absolutely. I think you should use props if you can. Anything visual to help, especially if it helps people understand your product and what it's doing. So something exemplary, you know. If it's a physical product, bring your physical product on stage. You know, think of Shark Tank or any of these pitching shows out there. As much as possible, they try to make it visual. So when you can do that, do it. But you know, I think your pitch and your story can't be dependent on those visuals. You need to be able to tell your story without it. And you know, what I'm learning more and more is that most pitches to investors happen over coffee or a Skype meeting. And so your visual aid, you know, be it a whiteboard or a PowerPoint, may not be used. Most of the time, you're just pitching to people. And typically, you really only need a couple minute pitch. It shouldn't be much longer than that. And it should be interesting enough that then investors or whoever you're talking to, customers or people in the elevator, that they want to know more. And they'll ask questions, they'll ask follow-up questions. Then you can get into the details. But really, your pitch, you have to focus on the story of what you're building, not necessarily on the features of what you're building. I think, you know, you have to cover what is the core feature and how does that core feature solve the problem that you've identified in the beginning of your pitch. But you shouldn't have a slide full of all the features of your product. That's the quickest way to probably lose engagement.
So it's agreed. Don't allow any pitch to be reliant on your props. It's a valuable lesson to learn your pitch verbatim. Just keep repeating it to yourself over and over and over again until it's part of your business DNA. As a business owner, you never want to be put in a position where someone asks you what you do and you have to pause to collect your thoughts before you can even answer. Better still, ask your partner to tell you what you do. Do they even know? Can they articulate it? How many opportunities are you potentially missing if your spouse, partner, or friends can't clearly and quickly articulate what it is that you do? I had an instance just the other day when a friend of mine was lamenting over how difficult it is to set up Google AdWords. It just so happens I have another friend who specializes in Google AdWords. Because I knew that I could clearly articulate what he does for his clients, I was able to put the two of them in touch. Granted, that's just one small example, but really challenge yourself. Does your extended circle have your pitch down? And could they communicate your value if they had the opportunity? And could you do the same for them? So there is no doubt that there are different needs for different styles of pitches for different aspects of the business. It was time for me to check in with a few of our past guests, though, as I really wanted to showcase the value of having your pitch nailed. So I asked them, what value to your business is having a good pitch?
I think the word pitch might frighten small business because it sounds like a big business word. You know, you go out and pitch. I know when I first heard it, I thought, oh, you know, pitching, what's this all about? That sounds a bit big, scary, and for the big boys. But no, pitching is just how you actually introduce yourself to somebody. And there's a real, you know, connection point in there of making it words that the other person understands, not just what you think they need to hear. So my pitch has evolved totally. So I think, you know, day one, hi, I'm Kate and I've got a training business. We do customer service stuff. And now it's, hi, I'm Kate. I'm the founder of Lightbulb Training Solutions. We're a workplace training provider and we specialize in the customer service skills that are going to have your customers raving about the business and your staff loving their job.
That was Kate. The interesting things I took from what Kate had to say were that, one, the whole concept of pitching when you first hear about it can be scary, and two, a pitch should evolve with your business. As you figure out a niche or an industry that you really service well, you need to be able to morph and incorporate pieces of information into your pitch. I remember when I first started my coffee business, I used to say something like, "Hi, my name's Tracy and I'm in the coffee industry." Now, this would cause no end of confusion, as some people thought that meant I roasted coffee. Others thought it meant I owned cafes. So I had to do a lot of work on who it was that the business took care of really well and what it was about coffee that I wanted to focus on. The coffee pitch ended up as, "We're Queensland's leading corporate coffee suppliers specialising in fully automatic one-touch coffee solutions." Much clearer, right? I figured out that by looking through the client list and working out that the majority of our clients were corporate companies, we didn't really do a lot with small businesses and we didn't really want to get into the cafe market. So once I figured that bit out, then all I had to do was build up a bank of testimonials showcasing our experience with the corporate space, and the rest just became pretty natural. This authenticity aspect came across for me when I spoke to Elizabeth Gillam from Franchisee Success and asked her the same question. What's the value of a good pitch to you?
Well, it's quite funny because in franchising, I didn't actually, had never ever come across a pitch or what the heck is this pitch? To me, it's a very new term. That pitch at the end of the day doesn't necessarily have to be salesy. What it does have to demonstrate is your authenticity and your credibility. I've got a good friend of mine that says, like, "I hate selling. It's just something I hate doing." And he just says, "Stop it. You're not selling. Just start talking." Because he says, once you start talking about what you do, you love what you do so much that your authenticity and your credibility comes out in what you're saying. So that's what I think a good pitch is you've got to be authentic and credible.
Here again, I heard the stigma that was around the word pitch. For Elizabeth, it was tied to a feeling that you had to sell. Her pitch mojo came when she realised that she just needed to talk from the heart, and the passion she has for helping franchisees shines through. Authenticity and credibility, people naturally resonate to that. I was beginning to get a picture of how a single word like pitch could carry so many different emotions and connotations for different people. For some, they immediately thought sales, others seeked clarity. And it was while I was chatting this point over with Rebecca that she mentioned how working and refining her pitch had helped her close business deals quicker.
I have found that as I've worked on my pitch and really developed it, that I'm able to convert business much quicker than I was before I had really refined my pitch. But it's also given me clarity on what it is that I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And when I'm clear, it makes it clear for the people that I'm talking to.
Similar to what Jeff Hetherington mentioned earlier, when you refine your pitch and you really get to know your market, your people, the problems they're facing and how your product or service can help them, your pitch becomes a way of sorting the wheat from the chaff. So Rebecca saying that she can convert business quicker is because in the first instance, when people hear her social pitch, they can immediately sort themselves into the "I want to know more" pile or "I'm not interested." James Crook from Choc Chip Digital put it best.
I guess a pitch is a way of really succinctly and clearly communicating your value with someone who's listening to it, ideally someone from your target audience, your ideal audience. And so what the pitch does is it tells who you are, and it tells what you're going to do, the benefits and the value for that person in the target audience. And so if it's done right, it will weed out people who are not part of your target audience. They might be super impressed with your pitch, but they straight away know that your services are not aimed at them or that it's not relevant to them. And the more valuable part of that is that if there is someone who is part of your target audience, they will connect straight away, they understand what you're doing straight away, and the communication is so clear that they, without any confusion or ill ease, they just know straight away that you're the person that they want to work with. So a pitch is really like a mini sales introduction or an introduction to a sales conversation. But if it can be super clear, then the rest of the conversation is just heading in the right direction from the get-go.
Hopefully now you see the value of working on your various pitches. As we talked about, all pitches, whether it's a sales pitch, an investor pitch, media pitch, or a different style of pitch altogether, they'll all flow from your social pitch. So spend some time to get a clear understanding of who you are, what industry you fall into, and how it is that you offer something different.
Keep today's conversation going on our Facebook page, facebook.com/notanotherbusinessshow.
Once you become clear on the basics, then you can begin to massage and morph your pitch to create something with more of a hook. Like the bookkeeper Jeff mentioned earlier that saves marriages, or a friend of mine who's a personal travel manager. She always says, if you look like your passport photo, we need to talk. The big takeaway from today, though, when someone asks you what you do, have a pre-prepared answer that flows out of you like a default setting. Spend some time to work on your pitch and have it become part of your very business DNA. Take the time to figure out who really is your customer, what problems do they have, and how does your product or service solve those problems for them? Do you have any awards or claim to fame that you can slide into your pitch to build authority? Write it all out. Get your dot points down. Show it around the office. Get your team to add in their comments to it. But make sure you work on it regularly. Then once you have it down, share it, recite it, get to know it backwards and forwards. Make sure your staff know it, your partner and friends know it, and make sure you have the opportunity to seek feedback on it. If you can tell somebody hasn't got it, ask them. What was it about that that you found confusing? Guaranteed, if you put the work into it, as you heard from today's guests, you will reap the benefits of being clearer on your audience, of helping clients self-select into knowing more about your business, of feeling authentic and passionate about what you're doing, and they can only be all good things, right? A big thanks to this week's guests, Catherine Maslin from Brisbane Natural Health, Rebecca Coombs from Coombs Marketing, Jeff Hetherington, the Clarity CEO, Josh Muccio, host of The Pitch Podcast, Elizabeth Gillam from Franchisee Success, Kate Schreck from Lightbulb Training, and James Crook from Chocchip Digital. As always, the biggest thanks goes to you for listening in. Why not jump over to our Facebook page and share your social pitch with us? We'd love to hear from you and get to know you all a little better. And please do remember, if you've enjoyed the show, to share the episode with your friends and network. Also, pop over and leave a review for the show on iTunes. It's quick, it's easy, and it's by far the best way to help us reach a bigger audience. It seemed perfect today to end the show with a quote from Albert Einstein. If you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough.
Not Another Business Show is edited and produced by Corporate Podcast Productions. Let your story be heard.